Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Let's talk first kisses.
Can we not?
Everyone has a first kiss. They're good, they're bad, they're awkward, they're all sorts. I'll tell you about mine if you'd like.
Please do.
It's nothing special. I was in the eighth grade with my eighth grade girlfriend.
Bless.
And after school one day, I can't quite remember the specifics, but it was like a Friday after the bell. I found her. Hi, hello. And I kissed her goodbye and made out like I had to run to the bus but also secretly terrified that I'd done bad. I walked away and I was like, wow, I just had my first kiss. And she had strawberry lip gloss on. So it was sticky. A little sticky.
Sticky.
But no tongue. Just
no, your, just like a... Just a peck or just a little bit juicy?
More than a peck.
Yeah.
Like a little
church,
more than a peck.
Church tongue?
Little, maybe it mayhaps a little church tongue, mayhaps, but I'm iffy on the tongue.
Yeah.
So that was mine. Just after school on a Friday, grade eight, somewhere air.
Mine was in grade 7.
Yes.
So was mum. He was a family friend and we were hanging out in the backyard.
Yeah.
We went into the treehouse and we're just like talking and then we're like, do you want a kiss? He's like, yeah, okay, let's kiss. And so we just did a little mwah. He's like, do you want to do it again? And I'm like, yeah, all right. Little, and there was never any tongue. We just kept going mwah, mwah. Okay, cool.
It's so sweet that once upon a time we were like, do you want to kiss?
Do you want to kiss? Like, because we weren't boyfriend or girlfriend or anything. We were just like mates and we just kept just like juicy peck kissing. And no, that sounds bad. We were just like... just little kisses, and then it just didn't. The first time I made out with somebody was the next door neighbor, and his name. Oh, no, I can't make the joke because I can't identify him.
Oh no.
Yeah, I won't make it.
That's okay.
But anyway, he has the name of a famous actor, which made me laugh. and we went into the back of the cinema to watch Speed 2.
Speed 2.
And literally made out with the most tongue possible in a young teen make out. And I still have no idea. The only thing I remember about that movie is that there's a boat and it crashes and then someone had leeches on them at some point. That's all I remember. I just remember this guy's like face mashing up against mine. But yeah.
Well, there you go. To wake you up on a Thursday morning.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Sorry, I've got the giggles now.
Oh, no, tongue, giggles.
It's so grown up.
I'm Liz Best.
And I'm Tom Harris. Hello, everybody.
Hope you're all well, healthy, happy.
Yeah, doing well.
If you're in love, fucking congratulations.
Time to put the boot through someone else's dating history and someone else's
romance
life. Yeah,
let's get the heat off us.
And we got a guest
we
today.
Do.
And,
we do.
It's Liz's best friend.
Again.
Again. Third time the charm on the show.
Look, honestly, the first time doesn't count because she was talking about me.
Right.
So this is technically her second visit. We have the wonderful Emma.
Hello, Emma. Welcome back.
I have so many stories. Please don't think this is the end, Tom.
That's this is not,
this is nowhere near the end, my
Strap
friend.
Strap in, Tom.
Yeah, that's,
strap
it's
in.
Fine.
Because when we were discussing, we're like, what story should I tell this time? So
can I, before we start though, and I think this is really important to add. So my first kiss was with this person I'm about to tell a story.
Ooh.
But I was rehearsing for a show at the time and I was really scared. Like we had just started dating and we were young, and I was like, I hadn't been kissed before, but I was gonna have to kiss the guy I was playing opposite in this show, and I was like, okay, we need to like make out.
We
like,
need to sort this out this before show happens, I kiss somebody
because if
else.
I kiss this guy before I kiss you, then that's gonna really suck. And also, like, yeah, he's gay, and like, I don't want my first kiss to be with someone who isn't even vaguely, even possibly attracted to me. I know
sure.
there's so many facets to this story, but I'm bringing it up because this guy who I kissed for the first time on stage wore apple-flavoured lip gloss.
Oh, my God.
He wore it because he, as a gay man, had never actually kissed a woman before. And he was so like, you know what? I'm just going to wear lip gloss to make it easier for her. But then we got off stage and I was like, hey, man, were you wearing lip gloss? And he's like, I did. Did you like it? I wore it for you. And I was like, see, now I feel like I'm kissing a woman. Yeah. So now it's weird on all of the levels.
Yeah, I went from kissing a gay man to a woman. I'm like, I mean, it's not... Yeah.
He
it's
goes, so
step,
no more apple lip gloss? And I was like, it's really disgusting.
That's very sweet. I wore it for you.
Yeah, I did it for you.
I thought I'd mention it, just given your lip gloss some
stories. That's cute.
Stories.
There we go.
Bless.
Yes. In our end
okay,
is all beginning.
Look, as with all of our podcasts that you've been on before, we've got the same rules.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
need to come up with aliases. You can't make threats. I can only do that. And then, you know, if anyone at home knows who she's talking about, because let's be honest, Brisbane's small.
Oh, so small.
So small. Please don't spoil the fun and start gossiping. This is so long ago that just shut up, everyone.
Brisbane,
just shut up.
Brisbane's so small, and yet I'm always late. There's always traffic.
Yeah, explain that. Explain that.
It doesn't make what it
doesn't
make sense.
Explain that. I feel like
especially
that says
coming,
more about you.
Especially coming from Sydney. Like, the traffic there is on another level. So I don't know how you can be late in Brisbane.
Amazing. And so, yes, an armchair Columbo's at home. Who figure out who Emma is talking about.
Don't be narcs.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Keep it
stum awesome.
Bitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want this podcast to keep on a rolling well into my 70s.
Yes.
Ambitious. Ambitious.
All right.
All right. So, Emma, the relationship that we're talking about this time, we've got an interesting reason why we're going with our particular alias.
Yeah, so I'm going to call him Josh again. So I've had it.
This isn't just because she can't think of any other boy
names.
No,
this is because I've dated a couple of guys with the same name. And so I think it's important to continue with that theme. So the Josh I've talked about previously, I call him Josh 2.0 because he was the second. This is about Josh 1.0.
The original.
Yeah, the origin
Josh.
Story.
Okay.
Yeah, the beginning of the curse. So.
And this was your formative relationship.
Yes, it was. Yes.
How old were you when you started?
We started dating. I would have been 18, just 18, just mm-hmm. turned 18. So, yes, quite young. And he was 6 months younger than me. So I think he was still 17.
How'd you meet?
So we met singing together in a choir. so many things. I would have been about 11. He would have been about 10 or maybe 12 and 11. I'm not sure. But yeah, quite young.
So you knew each other for a very long time.
Yeah. I met him the first day cause I'd already been a member of this choir, this children's choir for ages. And he joined a while after I did. And I still remember his first day. Like I was friends with him from his very first day. And we were friends for, like, he was one of my best friends, like, would come over for, like, group sleepovers and parties and stuff when we were kids. And so my parents knew him, my family knew him, I knew his family really well. And he knew a lot of my friends from school and vice versa. So, yeah, so I knew him for, I think it was, like, 8 years or something before we actually started dating. It must have been. If I was 11, what's that, 7 years? Yeah, 7 years.
Maths.
Between 11 and 18. 7 years before we started dating. So,
and what was it that tipped it over into that?
I think we spent a bit of time apart. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Mm. And, like, it was just, like, we hadn't seen each other in a while. And so I think it was because I was in first year uni and he was finishing high school. And so exams and stuff just got to both of us and we hadn't seen each other in a really long time. And we would call each other and text each other but hadn't seen each other. So when we finally saw each other, it was just like there were feelings there that probably hadn't been there before. I think I'd had a crush on him when I was a lot younger, but like it passed when I was a kid. So yeah, so these were like real feelings, and we had friends who were dating at the time too, and it's just that age where like
everyone's in a couple.
Yeah, everyone's in a couple. We were in a group of like three couples, and we were all really close, especially over that first year when we were dating. We were all really close friends, and then one by one the couples split. I think we were the second couple to split. So, yeah, so we dated for a year and a half. And during that time, so I think I mentioned earlier that he was my first kiss. So I have this, I don't know what to call it, history, issue, problem, struggle, where I've dated several gay men, not purposefully. I don't realize they're gay when I date them. And so I had a high school boyfriend, barely call him a boyfriend, but he, before Josh 1.0, and he was gay, and we broke up because I was pretty certain he was gay. He didn't understand why I dumped him at the time, but like later on he was like, oh, does that make sense?
I like dick.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so when I started dating Josh, there were a lot of people who like were like, are you sure he's straight? And I was like, yes, he's dated girls. He says he's straight. I don't know what else to tell you. Like
just because
can't
the
judge
first guy
someone
was
on a stereotype.
Gay as well.
Just because I've dated a gay guy before. Just because I was a big fan of Anthony Kalia. Like, please let it go. Anyway, Australian Idol was big back then, guys. Love Anthony Kalia. My high school friends still laugh about that. Anyway, so yeah, so Josh and I started dating, and yeah, like I brought up that kissing story earlier about me being like, Josh, we have to kiss before I make out with this guy on stage. Because like we were dating for a couple of months before he even kissed me, which like should have been a sign that there was something weird.
At 15 or 16, I wouldn't have gone weird. At
17, 18, issues. Mm. But he kept saying it was Jesus. Like there were Jesus things.
I don't want to kiss you because it's Jesus.
He's leaving a lot of room for Jesus. And anyway, so that was the excuse.
Maybe it was Jesus. He
needed to kiss. I know, lost in translation there. So, yeah, we eventually did kiss, I think, maybe 3 months into our relationship. I guess before then we were just friends holding hands every so often.
Was it magic, Emma?
It was gross. Yeah.
But the alternative for your first kiss would have been with a gay man on stage.
Or with
stage.
Apple lip gloss, yeah.
So as your very first kiss.
Yes.
So you needed to...
I really needed
you
something
gotta do
before
that. You got to do something before stage kiss. No.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we did kiss and that was pretty much all we did for a year and a half, even though like sometimes things would get a bit hot and heavy and then it would stop and I'd be like, why? And he'd be like, Jesus. And I'm like, Jesus again.
Jesus.
Jesus. Why is it you, me, and Jesus in this three-way relationship?
Joshua.
And yeah, there were just like a lot of things that should have been major red flags. Like just, yeah, like he would be happy touching me, but I couldn't touch him. Like
wasn't there a story that you told me one time about him freaking out about your boobs?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Like
yes.
Freak out or panic? Oh, like these are crazy.
So we'd been obviously like in our relationship, all we had done was kiss. Nothing else had happened. He would put his hands on my waist when we were kissing or put his hands on my face, but like never grope me. And I'm like, I'm a teenager. Please grope me. Like, we've been
I'm
together
a
for a while.
Please make me
we've
feel
known
like
each
my
other
body
since we were kids.
Is good.
Please make me feel like I'm attractive. And I remember one of my friends who was also, who was in that group of friends, the couple friends, had a word with him. Like, literally had, because I had told one of my girlfriends and she'd said it to her boyfriend who was friends with him, whatever. Yeah. And he literally was like, mate, you just got to grab a tit.
All right, champ. Bases are loaded.
He's like, I want to show you how to do it. You put your hand up and you push it forward. Like, that's it. He's like, I remember the first time it happened, it was after he'd had this conversation with him. It was in a car park. Like, we'd literally, like,
oh, I gotta...
it was at the end of a night and, like, we were kissing goodbye.
Go
and
touch
I,
a boob.
And it was like, it was almost just like he had to get it done. And, like, so many things wrong.
Just get it done.
Why? Where were the red? Like, I obviously have. I am colorblind to red flags.
But no, see, at that formative age, like, you would have thought it has something to do with you.
Yeah. So I thought you meant like at that formative age it was okay, and I was 18. It wasn't okay.
I was saying at that formative age when someone doesn't want to touch you, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's
not so fair. That was weirdness. That was the beginning of. So I did. I on a serious note, I did develop an eating disorder. And that was a lot to do with the fact that I thought I was unattractive. I thought he didn't want to have sex with me or didn't want to touch me because there was something wrong with my body. I starved myself. I was tiny, tiny. I look back at photos then and I'm like, oh my God.
I could have snapped you in half.
I don't understand. I was very, very skinny and had severe issues. Like I starved myself because I thought there was something wrong with me. Anyway, so we ended up doing a show together, and in that show, so we'd been dating for over a year at this stage when we did this show together, and we rehearsed for this show for a few months, and during the show we met some friends, new friends, and one of those friends was this other guy. I'm going to try and to avoid giving him a name at all. So he was a legend. I actually really love this guy and I'm still really good friends with him to this day, which is why I don't want to name him. But Josh was hanging out with him a lot. And like initially I was invited and then I wasn't invited anymore. And I brought it up one day at rehearsal. I was like, I brought it up with this other guy. I was like, is there an issue? Like I haven't been invited to stuff anymore. And he was like, Josh keeps telling us that you're not free. That you don't want to come, that you're not available. And I was like, oof, alarm bells. Anyway, we had this big chat one night, me and Josh, and decided to go on a break. Now,
take a break.
All right, kids. Not a good idea.
Everyone playing at home?
A break is not real, okay?
They were on a break.
Breaks aren't real.
No, you're broken up. You can't take an intermission. Yeah, you can't take an intermission.
Yep.
And the argument of we want a break is fair because a break is considered a breakup in my head.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
And I will never go on anything remotely associated with a break ever again.
It's because we're breaking up and we'll see what happens or nothing.
We broke up, but essentially.
I think it's a youthful solution to. A problem. I think
you can't take a time out and then expect to be absolved from everything you do in a time out.
My guess would be age 30 and under, there's a huge percentage of people that have tried a break and then the older you get, one's going.
You realize it's bullshit. Yeah. I think like in this circumstance and it like, you know, as we go on through this story, like, it's pretty indicative of how the whole thing played out. He just didn't really want to let go of me. He kind of wanted to have his cake and eat it too. I think, you know, we'd been friends for so long that he didn't want me not in his life anymore, but also didn't know how to end it with me and also keep me around. So he just kind of strung me along for a bit. So we were on a break for 4 weeks and I was reaching the end of my tether and I was like, more and more as I went along, realized this was not a break. We were essentially broken up and I was just hanging on. And anyway, so he came over to my house because I was just like, we've got to talk because I can't with this anymore, with this break. Like it's a yes or a no. What is it? He came over and I just outright asked him about the other guy, like that we were friends with from rehearsals. I was like, do you have feelings for this guy? And he was like, I don't know. And I'm like, cool. I think that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
I was like, obviously devastated and very similar to Josh 2.0, was really close to his family too, still really close to one of his siblings especially. So that was really hard too because I felt like I was losing them as well, which was really upsetting. Anyway, so that ended. But the thing is that it didn't end because for 18 months after that, he kind of strung me along and would like did a bit of that breadcrumbing thing where it was kind of like he would like kind of flirt with me or hint that he was into me still and then wouldn't. And then
he wanted a soft place to land in case the gay didn't work out.
Absolutely. So like maybe
in this 18 months and you don't have to tell, did you hook up or
no
so there's no there was no
nothing physical,
just breadcrumbs of just breadcrumbs of mayhaps. Okay.
And I think in that time, in that 18-month period of time, he went over to study overseas for a bit, for a few months. And just before he left, he told me he loved me again. Ooh. The night before he left. And also said he wanted to try and patch things up with my family, especially my mum. Because, like, when we'd split up the first time, my mum was, like, because my mum had known him since he was a kid too, and, like, he'd been close to my family, there was just, like, a lot of bad blood there, and my family was really upset at him and whatever, so he was just trying to patch things up. Because he was like, you know, when I get back, like, you know, we'll talk about this again. And I was like, oh, okay, we're getting back together when you get home, okay. So then I was essentially in this long-distance relationship with this person, but also we weren't together yet.
He was in nothing limbo.
He was just, he was just holding on to me. And then he got home. And now this was after months of me seeing photos of him with other people, like, while he was studying abroad and stuff like that. So that was kind of upsetting too. Like, you tell someone you love them, then you piss off overseas, then you talk to them and maintain some sort of long distance relationship, then you post pictures of yourself with other people, then 2 weeks before you get home, you ghost them, like me. I was ghosted for 2 weeks before he got home. He finally,
I'm shaking my head. Yeah. I keep forgetting that you guys can't see what I'm doing here, and I'm just sitting here and being stern and shaking my head.
You do need a webcam.
Yeah, yes. He got home, and when he got home, maybe a week after he got back, he's like, I want to see you. Like, we need to talk. And I was like, yeah, we need to talk. Like, the fuck is going on? He ghosted me for 2 weeks. So we met up. I'm going to give you, like, an image here if you know Brisbane. So the Starbucks in Queen Street Mall, like, on that corner, like, across from where Borders used to be. What's there now?
The Macca's. It's the Macca's Starbucks.
Yeah, it's right near the Macca's.
The Myer Centre.
Near the escalator. Up into the, into the Myer Centre.
Yep.
That Starbucks. We met there. And I was kind of like, I'd psyched myself up for this because by this stage, and I think it helped that he'd been away for a while, I had gotten angry. So I was like, I am fucking ready for this.
Emma angry is like a fucking pressure cooker ready to 100%. Explode.
So I just finally developed some self-respect in the time he'd been away. Like, a lot of good things had happened for me while he'd been gone, which said enough.
Mm.
So anyway, of course he gets back and after leading me to believe that he'd wanted to get back together when he got home, he essentially, like, talked to me about his trip for a while, didn't ask me how I was going really, and then said, I just want to be friends. And gave me a gift he'd got me in on his trip, which was just like a Christmas bauble with a Union Jack on it. I've still got it out of, like, this is so funny. I'll never forget this. It's like a souvenir of that night because it is a special night for me. And that is because he was like, I just want to be friends. Like, I don't think we should get back together. And I was like, no. And he was like, what do you mean? We've been friends since we were like 11. And I was like, well, I have a lot of good friends. I don't need a shit one. And the issue, I said that.
That's
and
a
it
good
was
line.
Like,
it's
yes,
a good line.
It is a good line. And he literally was like taken aback. He's like, oh, wow. And I was like, please give me any reason to believe you have treated me with respect or like a friend in the past few years. And he's like, oh, and I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, I can't waste my time on you anymore. I was like, I've wasted so many years of my life trying to be friends with you and you have absolutely no respect for me whatsoever. I was like, you can literally fuck off. I got up. He was like, oh, I don't want to leave it like that. He went to hug me. I literally pushed him away in the middle of the Starbucks. And I was like, have a great life. And I said that and I walked off. And as I walked off, so I was living in Springwood at the time, and the 555 bus turned up just as I walked out of the cafe. Walked onto the bus and the bus left and it was the best moment of my life. And that's why I kept the Union Jack bauble.
Because you were like, power.
Yeah.
Best exit of your life. You'll never have another exit that good.
Yeah, it was, you know what? It was like the first important moment of self-respect in my young womanhood.
Huge.
So
well
it was
done.
Like huge. But also like, it was unfortunate. The lesson that I learned from that, you know, he maintained, like, and he is openly gay now. But at the time.
So her first kiss was with a gay man.
Yes, my first kiss did end up being with a gay man,
there
correct.
We go.
But he had essentially used me as a beard for a year and a half. He didn't want to come out to his family and friends.
Yes.
A lot of that had to do with Jesus, and because a lot of them and his family and friends were quite religious.
Can I just say, because I don't think we can get a whole episode out of the other one, gay men put religion in front of you a few times.
Oh, my God. No, we cannot get another episode. And that one is too public to talk about. But, yes,
there has been another guy.
There has been another guy actually directly after this one. So it went Yeah, after Josh 1.0, it went, there was another guy. I don't want to name
Mitchell.
Him. Mitchell.
Are you just a safe woman for gay, men?
I kind
just
of wonder.
Parade about. Yeah. Just like, look, I'm a woman.
Am I allowed to mention? Story. You love this story.
I love this story so much. I just need to tell it because this is my favorite story. I'm going to not, it's just Mitchell. Yeah, yeah. So it's just this, she developed a crush on this guy called Mitchell and they'd been talking and kind of, you know, one night after a rehearsal,
it was
or
closing
a show,
night of a show. Yeah. Classic me.
They were in the car park and they made out.
Yeah.
And then
for a while.
Yeah, like a full on sesh, yeah. Right?
Yes.
And then at one point, was it during that night or was it after?
No, it was like 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, so she's like, so what is this? Are we...
Because we'd been kind of hanging out a lot before that too. There was a lot of lead up to that. So I was like, we've been spending a lot of time together.
Yeah,
so I was like, are we dating now?
And he goes...
Because we kind of had been. We'd been friends for a while too. Yeah.
And he said, oh, you're just not Baptist enough for me.
Code name.
And so I'm so over Jesus.
And so now, like, now we have this because every single person she told that did this face, and it's just like a what?
Confused. I wish you could see the face.
And so that's Baptist face now. Like, there's a whole every time any of us are just like, "All right, guys, Baptist face."
Yeah, what? I know. I was like, "What?" Trying to because so many people had been like, "Oh, I noticed you and Mitchell hanging out a lot. Like, is anything there?" And I was like, "No, I'm not Baptist."
Mitchell is now fully dating a dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and has been in a very long relationship.
Long term.
Same with Josh 1.0.
Yeah.
Like, long term relationship with a gay man.
And
now.
Your sister's also been trapped in that dating a gay man too. It's the Taviani curse.
It really is.
Wow.
But yeah, it's just like, I hate.
And you've never seen Joshua 1.0 since your... since you bust out of that
since
situation.
That bus?
No. He turned up... Did he come to
or any meaningful
show?
Interaction, I suppose.
No meaningful interaction, really. Okay. I think we messaged each other after a mutual friend passed away. But that was about it, yeah.
But the best thing you got out of that was the friendship with his sibling.
Yes, yeah. Still friends with his brother, love him dearly, and we still talk fairly regularly and see each other when we can, which is really nice.
That's sweet.
But that was, that friendship kind of developed separately to my relationship with Josh 1.0, so I wish him well. But
so, what have you learnt?
What have I learnt? Oh, God.
Your gaydar got a bit better, did it?
Yeah, kind of. If someone really has to, like, talk themselves into grouping you, they're probably not that straight.
Do you date religious men anymore?
No.
Do you date gay men anymore?
No. I'd like to say no, but there was another one. I have dated 3.5 gay men.
Well, yeah, because the other guy... I think
3.5.
Yeah.
It's really important to use that.
The half, I'm pretty sure. I think he prefers.
He was bi.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But after you've dated a few gay men, it's kind of like, I can't compete with men and women.
Too much.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, I guess the first thing that I learned is to always ask Emma's boyfriend's enough questions to just double check she's not dating another closet case.
Yeah, it's a good one.
In all seriousness, I think the lesson I learned from that was that if someone doesn't respect you enough, treat you as well as they would treat your friends, then they don't deserve you in a relationship capacity.
And if you're going to date someone, you have to be friends first. You have to be a good friend to that person first.
To be friends after you finish dating. Yeah. Yes. I think.
But even without that, like in a relationship, you should be as friendly, if not more friendly, with that person than your actual friends.
Yes.
Like they're meant to be above the other people. So
absolutely.
You can't somehow treat them worse.
Less. Yep.
Yes.
And I had this conversation with a friend recently because he's trying to be friends with one of his exes.
Don't do it. Only psychopaths do that.
Yeah. I have, but only years after we split.
Yeah.
But that was only because that relationship ended with respect.
Yeah.
You know, if there was no respect in the ending of that relationship, and there wasn't with Josh, then there's no grounding for you to be friends again. Like, what are you building on there?
Yeah.
So, like, you wouldn't be friends with some random person you met on the street who punched you in the fucking face. So why would you be friends with someone who treated you like shit for 2 years?
That's
I think
true.
My biggest lesson is always have a good exit line. And don't look back.
Oh, yeah. Always check the 555 bus time before you meet up with someone.
Just it's the act of saying the line and not turning around, just going.
I like it's burned into my brain. That whole exit, I'm is in feeling slow motion in like, my brain for the rest of my life.
I'm like osmoting the power that you got from back then, right here on the table.
Very good
right
moment.
Now.
Yes, very really good is, moment. Yeah. I suppose my bit of advice would be to any teenage boys that listens to this show. This goes out to you. If you find in your life that another human being needs to set you down for a pep talk about grabbing that boob, you've left it. You've left it too late, and you need to. I don't know. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid.
Just go for the boob grab.
Do you prefer one at a time, one boob at a time,
I
or
think
is it
that
a
night? It was the one.
Just
it
one.
Just aruga.
It wasn't a twin attack.
No. No.
Did he literally just put his hand out in palm and then
it was like a claw.
A
retracting claw.
It's like he got the prize and then he limply pulled it.
I remember it so clearly. God, it's horrible.
I can't believe you're going to forget that part. That's my favorite story.
Oh, my God. I think trauma blocks a lot of things out.
Oh, God. Thank you so much, Emma. Yes, your messy dating history is almost equal to mine and it brings me such joy.
Can't wait to come back and tell you about the other two and a half gay
boyfriends. There's more, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God. You've dated like an entire queer eye team, basically.
Honestly, yeah. I'm just fostering them. Yeah. I find them forever.
Fantastic. Oh, Emma, thank you so much for coming on our little show again.
Thanks for having me.
And bearing your soul and your quite funny wounds. In this instance. Liz, how are you feeling after?
Yeah, good. Look, I fucking love Emma's story. So if you guys would like to have your story heard on our podcast, you can either apply to be a guest on our podcast at thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast. Even if you're not in Brisbane, we can phone you in, we can make it happen, we can Skype you in, whatever.
Or
in times of COVID, everyone knows how to do that shit now. Like,
or send your email us your story at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com and we'll read it out. We can do that.
And we can make it anonymous if you've got a story that you don't want to put your voice to.
Yeah.
We can just read that shit out and put it out to the universe. If you've got any questions that you want to ask us. We also have our Ask Liz and Tom episodes where we can give you our completely unprofessional don't sue us advice.
That's right.
On all of the things that you need to know. Look, I feel like we've got a bit of experience now. Like,
yes. We're undoubtedly
professionals,
so.
Yes. Pretty much. You can find us on all the socials or join our Ghost of Boyfriends Past group therapy group if you just want to put your problems out to the masses and a bunch of strangers can help you navigate your way through the murky waters that is love. But Emma, thank you.
Oh,
yes,
thank you.
Emma.
Please stop dating gays.
Look, I'm gonna stay single for a while. Safer that way.
I believe in love. Do you believe in love, Amy?
I do, Gina. I also really believe in helicopter dates, bottomless champagne, sparkly cocktail dresses, and big-ass red roses.
Well, you'll be surprised to hear that we're obsessed with The Bachelor. We will be sharing that obsession with you and discussing all things Bachelor and Bachelorette.
We'll be talking about memorable moments, who we think Batchy will choose, and the lessons we learn along the way.
So, prepare your cheese board,
grab the wine,
and get overly emotionally attached with us, your hosts,
Amy Duro
and Gina Schwartz.
Love Batchelly.
Two gals here for the right reasons.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.